that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me.
Dad, you just keep playing.
I just want you to think for a minute. Is everybody, let's just go ahead and close our eyes. Let's put our songbooks down. We know this song. Let's just close our eyes. And I want you to think back to that time where you were just down and out. Were you just ready to throw in the towel? And what happened? You couldn't quit. Somebody showed up on the scene and he lifted you up. I just feel like we're a little too defeated about singing this song. I think we need to sing it for what it's really worth. I was down and out and I was ready to quit. But Jesus lifted me. And that's why we're here this morning. Let's sing that again with all your heart now. Give him praise. Oh, and I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Yes, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. And I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. One more time with all your heart. Yes, Lord. And I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Oh, give him praise and worship. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you what, them no-praise demons start coming around. It don't take too long to think about what the Lord has done. Go ahead and get your praise back a little bit and go, you know what, I don't care, devil. He'll tell you, look what you did 5 minutes ago. I don't care. He's still worthy of praise.
Amen.
You tell me I'm serpent seed and I'm doing this wrong and I'm doing that. Well, guess what? I'm going to be the worst serpent seed to ever hit this earth. And I'm going to praise God with all my heart. Can we do that this morning? Just worship and love Him.
Amen.
Say, well, we ain't singing. You can worship without singing. I'm talking about just giving your heart to God. Hallelujah. I'm happy to be in His house this morning. I'm happy that we didn't lay down this morning and fall. As Dad was saying, people get scared of the weather and things. But hey, I know the master of the wind.
Yes.
You trust in weather people anyways? Yeah. How many times you try to play with what they said and it was wrong anyhow?
Right.
Why we get all worked up about that, I just don't understand it. I do understand what it is. It's reasoning. We just want to go ahead and think we got it all figured. We ain't got nothing figured out. Just about time you think you got it figured out, what does the Bible say? Let's check up, make sure, lest we fall. We don't know what we ought to know. There's only one thing we really need to know, and that's Him. And all this will take care of itself. Let's go ahead and stand together with the Word. Open up our Bibles. This is I got an announcement. It's very tentative. I don't know for sure any details yet. But some of you might know Brother Samson Shetty from India. Does anybody remember him? Over at Brother Cam's, I believe. Heard him speak one time. Well, he's in the States, and he's been around just about everywhere. And got a hold of me. We might be able to squeak him in on a Thursday night here. So in December sometime, I think about December 12th is what he was thinking is a possibility. He hasn't confirmed or anything like that. But let's go ahead and get prayed up that we might be able to make it here 3 times in a week. Is that all right? Amen. Keep him in prayer too. I love Brother Samson. We just, ever since I met him that last time and went and ate with him and some things and had the services, it was good. He's a good, real good brother, and I love being around him. Keep him in prayer. All right. I think that's everything I was thinking of. Yeah. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17. Everybody there, say amen for me, please.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, and at the time a glass would have been a mirror. So beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Jeremiah 48. We'll start at verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 48, and at verse 10. Listen closely. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Moab hath been at ease from his youth, and hath been settled on his lees, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore his taith remaineth in him, and his scent is not changed. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send unto him wanderers that shall cause him to wander, and shall empty his vessels and break their bottles. I'll make some sense out of this by the help of the Lord soon. Lord, we've been preaching the living God's dwelling place, and I'd like to continue on that. And I want to preach from glory to glory. God's dwelling place is from glory to glory to glory. Let's bow our heads together. Do you have a need from the Word of God, which we know is Jesus Christ? Can you lift that up to him now before we even speak the Word? I believe he'll answer you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus Christ that we can walk and know that your holy presence is here. But Lord, you made us accepted in the beloved, and we don't have to be afraid. But Lord, you washed us clean, you sanctified us, and you filled us with your Spirit. And I pray if there be one person here who doesn't know that, may this service change that, Lord. And may they have an assurance in their souls of what you've done in their lives. Lord, we thank you for the time to open your word and to read it, Lord, because there's so much power within it. Lord, just give us revelation by your Spirit to know what it's saying directly to our hearts and to our lives, that we may walk out of here rejuvenated by your Spirit. Lord, as we sang earlier, revived by the Spirit of God. Help each one that's here. May each one that's sick be healed. Lord, we want to pray for Brother Tom and Sister Mary, just thinking about them, Lord, having to be at home today. Lord, would you just go and touch them today, that they might be able to make it there, Lord. I know it's like old Caleb might have got a little tired, but he said, I still got strength to fight, and I appreciate that desire out of soldiers that's been around a lot longer than I have. Pray you bless them, Lord. Be with us today. Move on the hearts of the people and change us, Lord, from where we are to where you want us to be. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Like I say, before I forget about it, I sure appreciate Sister Suzanne sharing that. And not to brag or boast, but I want people to understand that when the Word has gone forth, the point of the Word going forth is God wants to fulfill the Word that has gone forth. So it's not just said to just sit on the pages or sit in our ears and not do anything. The reason the Word is said, that we might take it into our hearts and believe it and confess it and let God be the high priest of our confession. That when we have need of healing, He can say, you are healed. Because we know that the Word has said it, but until your ear can hear it, you can't receive it. We know that every sickness that's hit this earth has already been healed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's already paid for all of it. But why are people still sick? It's because they can't hear the voice of God that says, no, not just everyone's healed, but you specifically are healed. And did you come this morning to not hear some general gospel, but to hear Jesus Christ say, you, my son, my daughter, are healed. And whatever infirmity you have. That's why we come into the house of God. And I appreciate people sharing that. Some people might think I'm just staying at the end of service, just, you know, wasting time and things. And well, if you want to go home and just watch football, or you want to go home and play some games, or you want to go home and just lay down and be lazy about it, well, yeah, we're wasting the last part of service. But if you came to service with a purpose, and you're determined now, I ain't talking about, well, you know, if God heals me, I guess it'll be all right. But if He don't, you know, that's okay. I guess God will save me today, but you know, if I don't, maybe I'll get it tomorrow. Well, that's a good old devil's trick, isn't it? Because where does God dwell? He doesn't dwell in the past or the future. He dwells in the present.
Amen.
And you must take this moment and realize that God has something for you today. Not for you just to hear it, but for you to absorb it and become it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
From glory to glory. Now, the Christian experience, just like unlike any other experience, is a wonderful thing because it never ends. It's from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. You say, well, what about when we get to heaven? You don't understand. There's glory to glory to glory. Even when we pass over there, the God that is inexhaustible will continually reveal himself to us more and more and more. And no, your little peanut brain is mine as well. Cannot comprehend something that really doesn't end. Because everything we have in life has a start, has a finish, don't we? We have church service at 12, and some of you might think, let's hope it finishes a little bit earlier than maybe later. But either way, I hope you want it to end when God wants it to end, because God came here to do something today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But the Christian experience is from glory to glory to glory. And what happens that stops that is you and I get content in what God has shown us.
Sure.
And there's such a fine line there, because should we really be scratching at the pole saying, oh God, I need more, and getting all worked up about it and dwelling in fear our whole lives? Not at all. We should have a satisfaction in what Calvary really did for us. We should have a satisfaction that my sins are remitted and I am saved by the grace of God and I've received the Holy Ghost. There needs to be a day where you know that. Where it's not a guesswork. It's not, well, maybe I can lose it tomorrow. I have it for time and eternity. But that doesn't mean what God showed me today is all he wants to show me.
Right.
Every day is a constant communion that never gets boring, that never runs out. We have an inexhaustible God.
Yes.
And isn't that so contrary to you and I's thinking? You know, you might like to play football, but I tell you what, if we did it every day, 24 hours a day, you'd hate it. And the gospel don't work that way, does it? You feed it, and it gets better. You go get a little bit, it just tastes better and tastes better. But what happens so easily to the Christian is we think we have enough of it, so it doesn't entertain us enough in this Laodicean age, does it? We need new, fresh, something I ain't never heard before, something that just tickles my brain or tickles my emotions. And that's not what the gospel is. It is something that is life. It is something that is real, not something that just comes and goes and just you might feel a little good and then you go right back down in the dumps. It is something that is constantly positive. It is something that changes you. Look what we just read there. Not changes you into anything, but changes you from glory to glory into the same image as Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
I don't believe Jesus only has half joy. I believe he's got all joy. I don't think he's got half peace. I think he's got all peace. And if I'm being changed into that image, I should always strive to let him excel my experience more and more and more. Because the second you stop, you go back.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
And as we heard, I believe it was Brother Nathan said, what is it? Satan will come and give you a little dissatisfaction from the Word of God. Oh, I'm reading Jeremiah and, you know, it's kind of tough reading. Kind of bores me a little bit. That's all it takes. Look, and I understand what people are trying to say by that, but that little bit of disrespect to God's word, Satan will get a hold of that. And you might as well not even read the book of Jeremiah, because you ain't going to get nothing out of it anyhow.
Sure.
You might as well just pack it up and go to something else, I guess. Or the better way is to get that demon spirit off of you. Because as the prophet said, if you can't see Jesus Christ in every verse of this Bible, you've missed something. I'll clarify, you don't just miss something, you're missing someone.
Amen.
Somebody that's trying to speak to you. People think that God only speaks once in a while, you know, when we're real spiritual, that's when he finally speaks to us. He's speaking to us all the time.
Amen.
It ain't that part of the artesian well that's plugged up, is it? It's our end of it when we put the lid on top, say, no, I gotta think about this, I gotta preoccupy my time with this, I gotta worry about this trouble, I gotta worry about my family, I gotta worry about this, I don't got time for you, God, I gotta go do this, I gotta take care of that. Before it's all said and done, you didn't even give God any time to speak to you in the first place.
Right.
Reminds me of a man, these kids, when I went to college, for instance, my goodness, you talk about worshiping a devil. People that have earphones on and the big ones on top of that, and that's all they do all day. I mean, they're just so consumed in what they want to listen to.
Right.
You couldn't get in their bubble if you wanted. You unplug that bad boy, whoo, you better hope you got a gun, because they're going to take you out. Why? Because people are so captive by the devil nowadays, they need to worship it all the time.
That's right.
And they never get satisfied. That's the point I'm trying to make. There's a difference between the how do you say that word? Somebody,
satisfaction.
I want to say satisfaction. I'm like, that ain't right. Satisfaction of the Christian experience, even though you always know you can get more and more, there's always a satisfaction. That's not the same as what the devil does. It's always a dissatisfaction.
Right.
He's like, well, just one more and then it'll be all right. Just one more drink, right? Just one more game. Just one more of this, one more of that. One more comment I read on YouTube. One more of this. And he'll just keep piling it on and you'll keep looking. And what happens? It's never actually there.
Right.
But the gospel's the other way. Every step is something good you can digest and take home.
Amen.
And it don't run out.
Amen.
There's always more to pull from the Word. And it's such a, you know, people think that the Bible's a big book. But if you took everything and you could fit it in this little book here, that's an amazing feat. Yeah, only God can do that.
Right.
Man, and you can take it when a man tries to explain this. I was just at the Christian bookstore and they had a book this thick for just like James. For instance, 6 chapters of the Bible. It takes a man this long to explain it. He probably didn't even really touched it yet.
That's right.
Why? If you approach God intellectually, you'll never figure this out. It's not how God was meant. That's not. God never did that himself. He didn't base it off his own intellect. He based it on his faith.
Yes.
Amen. He created the worlds by his faith. And his faith is so simple. Whew. His faith is so simple. If you don't just accept it, you'll never figure it out.
Right.
You can't. It's just too easy. This is going to make me look like a math geek, but I hope you don't mind. I saw the gas price over there is $3.14. Does anybody know pi in math? 3.141592. Yeah, that excites me when I see 3.14. I'm sorry. I'm a little weird. I understand that. But that's a number that has baffled mathematicians for years, trying to figure out what it really is. And just to think, if you would just raise up in the heavenly places, God could probably just have a little math. Oh, you're looking at it the wrong way. Look at this. It's just two, you know? It's something so easy to grasp. Isn't that the same way salvation was to us? Oh, we tried, well, maybe, and you sisters, well, maybe if I just let my hair grow, and then I'll wear my dresses, and then, you know, I'll get rid of this, and maybe then I'm good enough to get the Holy Ghost. Maybe then. Don't act like you ain't been there. I've been there myself. Us brothers, right? Well, I'm gonna clean up. I'm gonna get that filthy stuff out of my mouth. I'm gonna close my eyes everywhere I go because I live in the Laodicea, and that's about the only thing to do in this wicked age. And I'm gonna make sure I pray like this and be real dedicated and all that, and then maybe I'll be good enough to get saved.
Yeah.
And we think, well, that must have been what the prophet taught, because you'll hear some minister get up and use some quote and use it in the wrong way and not really explain what it really means by the scriptural basis that it came from, and you'll never get saved. Because if you could earn your salvation, Jesus Christ came and died in vain. It was a complete waste of time. But if you can back up and just take what the Bible said about this, Acts 2:38, which said if you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is none other than the life of God within you.
Amen.
And just apply that, you go, well, that's all there is to it. It worked for 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. They didn't have to work up anything. They didn't have to figure anything out. They received it.
Amen.
Because they believed it. And it wasn't no half-hearted thing either. Remember back then, you better know where you're standing. They'd have killed you. Remember, why were they in the upper room in the first place? They were scared to death.
Amen.
But not after the Holy Ghost, buddy. But Peter had no problems preaching that gospel message. He said, you uncircumcised heart, you always resist the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You know the Lord that you say you worship? You just killed him a few days ago. And these are the people he was scared were going to kill him. That's the difference between a man on his own and a man with God.
Amen.
What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Remember Brother Brandon when he went up that mountain? I say this because of the weather maybe. But remember he was up in there hunting and things. And I believe he was going to go one way because there was supposed to be a storm coming. And the Lord told him, go back the other way. You and I might have said, well, I don't know, Lord, about that. That was probably just me thinking that. You know what? He fought the same battle too.
Yes.
He said, was that me? He said, but there's something about it. When you hear the voice of God, it never leaves if you'll just be quiet and keep listening. He'll keep saying it until you get it.
Yes.
He's our Father. He loves us. He's trying to get something over to you. He's going to make sure you get it. Now, if you go ahead and run off on your own thoughts and go listen to the devil, you won't hear the voice of God. That miracle would have never happened had Brother Ram said, oh, I don't know, I'm going to keep going. He probably would have died in that storm for all we know.
Right.
But God taught him how to listen to his voice. He was able to hear it. And aren't you glad it wasn't just some booming thing that he heard, but he heard the voice of God like you and I do.
Amen.
Just something little in his heart. And it began to materialize as he put faith in that. That was really God speaking to him. So he was able to walk into a blizzard that would kill anyone. You couldn't get out of there. How are you going to get out of there? It had pounded so much snow on you so fast you'd have froze before you even thought about dying. But when he got over there, remember he said, you see that storm? Whatever you say will happen. He spoke to it. He said, there'll be sunshine all over this place.
Right.
Sure enough, there was. Brother Bram, or sorry, Brother Eddie, I heard, told the story about the brown bear and what really happened there. And that's been a big stumbling block in the message. Brother Bram said that the Lord told him he'd get a brown bear, and he would have. And it was there, and it was prepared, but the Brother Branham had missed the vision God had given him. And Brother Eddie said that he had saw that bear, and he says, the biggest bear I've ever seen in my life. And the whole trip, I guess, was just awful. It was just rainy and drizzly and just nasty. And anybody knows, when you're cold, wet, and out in the woods, you just want to go home. There's nothing good about it. And they were out there, and they were just struggling along, trying to get something for Brother Branham. And Brother Branham eventually came to Brother Eddie and tell him, you know, let's go home. You know, because they hadn't got anything. Brother Eddie really didn't want to go home. I mean, he was there to let Brother Branham get something, and Brother Branham never did. He was real disappointed. And Brother Branham, this is from Brother Eddie, as I heard him say, and I hope I quote it as close as I can. He said that Brother Branham said, I've been the Jonah on this trip. He said, I missed it. But he said, we'll go home dry. And at the time, Brother Eddie didn't think nothing of it, really. He said, well, okay. But then he began to realize what was happening. And he saw a little, like I said, it had been cloudy, miserable, wet the whole time. He saw a little rain kind of come down of light, hit the place. And at the time, you know, that's the thing. God moves so simple. Yeah. You don't think it's Him.
Right.
Because He's so big, He makes Himself so small that unless you're spiritual, you will miss Him. There's no getting around it. You will think it's a coincidence. You'll think it's just the way it happened. No, the spiritual mind can pick up, God did that. And that thing, that little ring began to open and open and open. Before he knew it, you know, he'd sat there and he began to feel like, I'm getting hot. And, you know, you need to take that off. And before they left, he said, we were dry.
Amen.
And he said, I give record today. Had we not left dry that day, I wouldn't have believed this message. Because if it comes out and it's supposed to happen, there needs to be a reason it happened or didn't happen. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And if you really want to be a big stickler about it, well, he said, thus saith the Lord, he get a bear. Well, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, you're healed. Why is anybody sick?
Right.
Is it God that's the liar, or is it the person that's the liar that says they believe and they really don't?
Right.
That's the side I'm going to go ahead and pretend to err on. I know it ain't no error. God does not lie. He is the truth. Always. He's actually the definition of truth. There was nothing that was real until He was.
Right.
Amen.
And that was before anything. Amen. A little sidetrack there. But if we go back to why was I emphasizing this here in Jeremiah, where it talks about cursed be Moab, because they're sitting at ease and laying on their lees. And I don't know the real details about it, but I know a little bit. This had to deal with wine and how you would take it from one to the next to get a real ferment, get all the dross out, all the infirmity, the things you didn't want really in your wine. You kept straining out and put it from vessel to vessel to vessel to vessel until you got a real good product. Where if you just let it sit there, you get this nasty tasting wine. And what was the reason they weren't doing it? Nothing else but that pure laziness. And I tell you right now, that's the biggest epidemic I see in the Christian church, is we've let apathy, just pure laziness, take over us.
Amen.
You know, you have to fight to go upstream.
Right.
And your mind, in natural fallen condition, goes downstream into sin every time.
Sure does.
You men, when you see a pretty lady, your mind will not resist that. It will automatically think lust. Because it's easy. It's just downstream. You have to consciously tell that mind that's fallen that the mind of Christ is greater.
Amen.
And Satan, get out.
Amen.
And it goes the same with sisters nowadays. It ain't getting no better, is it? This is just Sodom all over.
Right.
It's the filthiest age that there's ever been. Let me even read what Brother Branham says about this. There's a man that could turn on the light. How many believes that this morning? Now look what darkness we're in today. Look what's going on today. Look at murder, rape, strife. Why? It's come to pass. I believe it was Billy Graham said in his last meeting. And 10 years from now, every citizen of California will have to pack a gun to protect themselves. You can't put enough law enforcement. People have just gone insane. Shooting, murders, and rapes and everything. See, it's just gone wild. See, upon the streets. See, it's a day that we're living in. A sodomite day, see? But there is a light shining. If they'd only look, if they'd only see, look into the Word and see what's supposed to be in this hour, they would know what's trying to be done.
Right.
Now they claim they're worshiping the light. So did they claim they were worshiping the light, but they were worshiping in the glare of another light instead of the real, see? See how they had settled on a glory instead of being changed to the next glory? into the next. And if you stop, even in your personal experience, if you think this is all God has, you will backslide from that moment on.
Amen.
I can put thus say the Lord behind that, because that's the scriptural pattern. Every time they got content in Israel, thinking this is all we have to do, we don't have to do no more righteousness, we can just do whatever we want. Yep. There went the presence of the Lord, didn't it?
Amen.
Samson thought the same thing. Thought he'd get away with it, knew he had done this little thing wrong, never really made it right. But when it came in cutting off his covenant, he was no exception. God had to judge him for that.
Right. Sure.
They were worshiping the glare of another light instead of the real. See, he was the light. Creeds and traditions in their blinded condition have turned them from the true light of the promised word. The word that God had vindicated by Jesus, the light of the world, came and made that word live exactly through his time, exactly to the days. He'll be cut off in the midst of the 70th week. That's right, which is the 3.5 years of his prophecy. The Messiah would come, the prince, and would prophesy. And 3.5 years of this, and then he would be cut off from the living and make atonement. And that's exactly. He preached 3.5 years. And the very psalm that David said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The 22nd psalm. All my bones, they stare at me. They wag their heads. They pass by. 850 years before him, when David sung that song in the spirit, it was considered prophecy and given. They were singing them songs in the temple when the same sacrifice was hanging on the cross.
Yes.
With his hands and pierced, and they pierced my hands and my feet. See there. Then why? They were living in a glare. They didn't see the light. And as we said, why did they miss Calvary? We've been talking about the temple and things in the book of Hebrews and how they rent the veil in half as God did. And why couldn't they see the sacrifice sitting there? Because they were living on the glare of the temple instead of the real temple of God. So as they were fixed around looking at this earthquake that had destroyed this place, and as this curtain had just been torn in half, no thought crossed their mind. How did that rip from the top to the bottom? Why? They were too busy living in a glare to realize that there would be any more to it. And what is that? The spirit of denominationalism. Does it start with something that was true? Absolutely it does. God, Satan is not, he's not stupid. He knows if it was just completely bogus, he wouldn't trick anybody. But if he can start with something that God did and then just pervert it just enough.
Right.
And it ain't overnight now, it's one step at a time. He's patient. I mean, he shows us up in patience. I'll tell you what, he shows me up a lot of times.
Sure.
Think of When I begin to think back, is when I realize something in my life is wrong and I go to trail it back where it came from and said, you wicked devil, you started all the way back there. How are you going to figure that out? You can't figure that out. It must be the Spirit of God in you, discerning even your own heart. I could say, thus say the Lord, this, this, and this, and this. But if something's wrong in your experience, you'll think that I just looked it up on something or figured it out or something. And it will mean nothing to you. You must have the right spirit on the inside to get the right spirit to come on the outside, or it's not going to match.
Right.
Why was the Holy Spirit able to come into Jesus at River Jordan? Because it was the dove, the gentlest of all birds, coming on the lamb, the gentlest of all animals. And the natures matched so it could come together. That's the way you and I need to be. Even with our mistakes and even with our failures, the way we treat him must be in utmost respect, in utmost meekness and gentleness. And just accepting what he does for us.
Amen.
You're never going to earn it in the first place, so there's no point in trying. If you could earn it, you are living in the glare of another age.
Right.
Because every denomination ends with how to earn salvation.
Amen.
Wow. Their little remedy, besides what the Word said, we've already read what the Word had to say about that. If you'll just turn from your ways and turn to God, he'll take care of the rest.
Amen.
But the second you add, well, you're saved if you put the name on our book and attend, you know, at least twice a month or something, or just to know, just make sure you pay your tithes now and you can stay saved. And you think that's just the Catholic Church, but you go do a little bit of research, you realize it is infiltrating every single denomination because they came from the same life.
Yes.
Glory to God. And when I look back at our apostolic fathers and see what the life of God did within them, I need to expect the same thing in my life.
Yes.
These signs shall follow them that believe. I'm not living in the glare of another day where only Brother Branham has discernment, where Brother Branham's the only one that anybody gets healed for. It's the same God right now.
Yes.
And I've stayed as a minister of this gospel to know that he is exactly the same today as he was 50 years ago.
Amen.
You want to see a vision? Believe that visions can happen, and they will.
Amen.
I'm a testament of that.
Wow.
But what's happened is we've been taught this ceiling to the gospel.
Right.
We only can go this high because of what we are. We only can go this high because I'm not a preacher. I can only go this high because I'm not a prophet. There's no limit to being a son of God.
Amen.
We are changed from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ could do all things, how can't we?
Right.
How can't we if we're truly being changed into the same image? We'd have to do the same thing. Hallelujah. And this is not just a good thought. This is a requirement. This is the requirement. If you don't walk in Christ, you are lost.
Right.
Amen.
You don't have a chance in the world because He's the only one that has the means of salvation. And you must be found not just walking around Him now, not just associated with Him in a church or the message or whatever. You must be in Him.
Amen.
So when they see you, they take notice. They've been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me prove that by the Bible, 1 John. Hope you're being fed this morning. You'll never offend me by saying amen too much. Is that all right? 1 John 1. Right there towards the end of the Bible. 1 John 1. Take me another drink here. Verse 5. Then this is the message which we have heard from Him, heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins.
Amen.
Now don't go to Satan's reasoning. Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I know all the messages just yet. I don't know if I can keep up with the light. You're not keeping up with anything.
Right.
It's about being the light that you are.
Yes.
It's being the light of this age. What age were you born in? Were you born in Wesley's? You can't accept Wesley's age.
Right.
You weren't born there.
Right.
Were you born back in the apostolic age? No, you weren't. You were born in 2000 or whatever before, but you live in 2013 right now. And the word for this age is greater than anything Satan's come up with. And as we walk in this light of the word, we need to know that the blood is continually washing us of all infirmity. Because in God dwelleth no darkness. I thought you said you were in Him. Then in you dwelleth no darkness. Well, I fell, I did this. We're not talking about that. Have you accepted the blood of Christ? And has it atoned for your sins? And as you walk in a newness of life, not of the life that you used to live, but there was a day where things changed and a life came within your heart and it sprouted up and showed that there's no darkness in that at all.
Amen.
Yeah.
Every Christian that's a real spiritual Christian knows that when they backslide, they make mistakes, that they didn't have to do that. It was their own fault, that God has already given us the power not to do it.
Amen.
God has given us the power to do the right things. He's given us the power to not do the wrong things.
Sure.
Romans. I'm going to stay in that Bible for a while here.
Amen.
Romans 1, 16. Romans 1, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jews first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So it's not just one day of getting faith and then you just don't worry about it no more. You live by faith.
Yes.
You are changed from faith to faith. And this goes hand in hand with what we just read earlier. From glory to glory is by faith to faith. We think God's just going to do something. I'm just going to realize No, you must believe.
Yes.
And as you believe, you realize that the glory of God in your life increases.
Right.
The more you believe His word. Isn't that not the truth?
Amen.
The more we believe in healing, the more healings we get to see.
Right.
And the glory in your life has now changed. It has changed from this little glory to this greater glory.
Yes.
It goes the same with all 9 spiritual gifts. All 9, is that all right? Do we only get 3 or 4 now? No, we got all 9
right.
in the body of Christ. And as we're changed from glory, we begin to believe this.
Amen.
And wherever you're at, that's fine, because as long as you have real faith, it will grow.
Yes.
That's why Jesus didn't worry about big mountain faith. He said, just get some.
Right.
Right.
Just get a mustard seed and I'll take care of the rest. Because it's a life, and life cannot be stopped by death.
Right.
Just as much as light cannot be stopped by darkness. And in God dwells no darkness.
Yes.
As darkness tries to come, all light has to do is exist and darkness flees.
Amen.
Yes.
And if you can just believe, especially when you make a mistake, I understand that's the hardest thing for us is to overcome ourselves. You're your greatest enemy. I get that. But you have to recognize God is here.
Amen.
And in Him is no darkness. In Him is light. And in Him is power.
Yes.
And as Satan tries to hold me captive, if I'll just put my faith in His name now. Not in what we were, not in what we are, not in anything from our past, not from our present, not from our future, but from what He is.
Yes. Right.
And that I am found in Him. You will find that Satan will tremble under that every time. Because if you really believe the word, he can't win.
Amen.
That's all he has. He has no power over you.
Amen.
He can't destroy you. Man, if we saw demons all around this place, you know they can't do one thing to you.
Right. Amen.
They can't. And if you really get the revelation that they're scared to death of you, I think we stop letting the devil punk us around as much as he does.
Right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, I believe a Christian conversion, as we've talked, there was right there in Acts 2:38. There's no more to it. There's no more less to it. There's justification right there by faith when you repent of your sins. Sanctification because the Holy Ghost burns and remits your sins out of your life. And then His filling presence comes in and He dwells in you.
Amen.
And gives you new life. Right there is justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's all there is to becoming a Christian.
Right.
If you substitute it or you change it or make it less or more, you'll never get a real conversion out of anyone. And that's not you and I's responsibility besides telling the word right. People have to respond to it. You say, well, maybe I didn't say it the right way and that's why they didn't do it. That has nothing to do with that. If you say what the word has said and they can't respond, it just proves there's nothing in them to respond.
Right.
How grateful we ought to be that when we heard the word, there wasn't no resistance at all. We said, yes, Lord. Amen. Oh, we might have fought. We might have made this. But there was something on the inside that says, I know that's right. I know that's right. I know I'm living a hypocrite trying to be a sinner. I know that's right. I'm a Christian.
Amen.
Even when you're in the world, there's something that holds you strong. And what is it? It's that predestinated seed of God. And how happy we should be if we really believe that.
Right.
That I am one of them.
Amen.
One of the few. One of the few. Amen. And nobody else can believe that for you. You must believe it.
Amen.
Because as much as I, in my heart, yeah, I believe everyone that I see here loves the Lord and tries to serve Him with all their heart. But really, when it's all said and done, I don't know.
Right.
He does.
Amen.
Even me. You all think I'm spiritual? I think so anyways. But you know what? That doesn't mean anything if God knows my heart and I'm not.
Amen.
He could use me as He has many men. As we've talked about before, He can use men in such a way that you would think there's no way they're not genuine.
Right.
But who knows the hearts of men? Only God. And Brother Branham said the same thing. He said, I'm not saved just because I'm saved because I believe I'm saved. That's why I'm saved. Now, I'm not saved because God's seen visions through me. I'm not saved because I've seen discernment and all these things. None of that tells me I'm saved. He could use me as a tool like anything else. He said, I'm saved because I believe I'm saved. I've been changed from faith to faith. And aren't you glad you took your old worldly faith that was worthless anyways? And when you met Christ, you go ahead and dump that and said, I'll just take His faith.
Amen.
And everybody think God doubts His own word? I ain't never seen Him doubt it yet. I don't think He ever will. I don't think He can. So if He be in me, how can we doubt the word any longer?
Amen.
How important it is to walk in that word. As we watch, I could tell the story, brother, but Jesus talks about how a seed must be planted and die or abides alone. And we've talked about that process many times, and even Jesus says that in Mark chapter 4. He says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. It says, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately He putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And you have to recognize, if you're living in the glare of another age, the life has left.
Right.
Because that's how plant life works. The life starts in the seed, and we all know that. Christ was that life, and it was planted into the ground. And as it began to spring forth, we know it brought forth the apostolic church, the very first apostles, the ones that actually held on to the word. But what happened is that began to hit maturity. That was the alpha bride. It died and left seed that fell on the ground. And we had to go through, as we know, dark ages and times of dogmas and creeds and things of that sort. But that seed was still down there with life in it. That's all they could live. They couldn't live no better but to lay in the ground and die. And that's why you watch the Christians of that age. They didn't fight. They didn't struggle. They just, if you want to kill us, I guess we're dead. That was all there was. That was all the Christianity they had.
Amen.
They'd be in the ground. Why? Because that's where the seed was at the age. And for them to live anything else would have been hypocrisy, because God allows his power for every age. He knows the process he wants to do. If he planned it out in nature, he can't destroy his own plan. He must follow that, the same with the church. And as the church began to spring forth, we watched the life change, and it came up into Luther. And now they didn't just lay down and say, whatever, Catholic Church, do what you want. Now it was, you're wrong, and we're going to let you know about it.
Amen.
It was life that you could see now, because as long as it lays in the ground, who knows? What if it died down there? For all I know, I can't see it. But the second Luther sprung up and saw that resistance starting to come forth, no, you're not going to stop this.
No.
And what happened as that life began to push, you got all these dogmas and creeds, and even within his own movement, they were coming. And they were throwing their cinder blocks of creeds on top of that life, trying to get it to stop, saying, that's enough, don't sprout it anymore. But you can't stop life with death. You can't stop a tree growing out of the ground with a bunch of rocks. It'll push right through it every time. And don't we hate that in our driveways? Don't we hate that in our houses? We try to stop that, but you can't do it no matter what you try.
Amen.
If you let it alone, the life will take over.
Right.
And as that life began to grow, as we talked about, it was just a blade, then it became an ear, and you could see even more of that life. But what happened the second that life went up into the ear? It wasn't in the leaf no more.
Right.
It had moved on. Because it was producing something else. And that's where you get sanctification, where it wasn't time to cuss and smoke and do all these things. It was time to get more of the Word manifested.
Right.
The Word was always there. They had the Holy Ghost the same as you and I do, but there was only so much Word could be manifested for that age.
Right.
And God already predicted this back in the book of Revelations, hundreds and thousands of years before it got here. He told them how it was going to work.
Yeah.
Amen.
And we watched that life push through. But the second that fulfilled it, it grew up into a shuck. And actually, if you listen to Brother Branham, he doesn't really talk, as far as I know, he doesn't talk about the shuck until the seals were opened. Even the phrase, I looked it up, light of another age, or glare of another age, a glare of another light, that only showed up after the seals. Because before then, they were under the Pentecostal light. So as they preached at Pentecostals and preached at their dogmas and creeds, that was all the word there was for that age. And it looked like it, didn't it? We look at Jack Coe, A.A. Allen, all these things. They did miracles.
Yes, they did.
They looked just like the apostles did. They weren't afraid about it either. They had gone past Methodists just laying around being good people. They were letting the power of God move. But it came a day when the word came and said, that was good, but now we're in the full ear corn.
Yes.
Amen.
We're into where the sickle's coming. And there must be life there. Because if you just have a shuck, it means nothing to you.
Right.
You go get an orange and all you have is the peel, you're not happy.
Uh-huh.
If you go look at it, and it don't matter how much they filled it up with stuff, does it? It put styrofoam in there to make it look like it was full. That's all Pentecost was. It was a bunch of hot air that was covered up and looked like the gospel. But it wasn't. Because when they begin to peel off and say, whoa, you hate that brother without a cause. You speak in tongues in envy of that brother that does. Begin to dissect this, what was really going on. Because remember, only God knows the heart of man.
Yeah.
They can put on the facade all they want to, but he'll dissect it and it will manifest. It has to come to a day. It had to come to a day when Judas had to prove what he really was.
Amen.
He hid it for a long time, but one day it manifested and his judgment was sent. Didn't catch Jesus off guard though, did he? He said, what you going to do? Go do it. And the other
Amen.
Disciples looked at each other like, you just going to go get the tithe or something? Didn't think nothing of it. Not Jesus. He knew exactly what was going on. And it's the same in this age. He was not caught off guard by that at all. And how do you know that? Back in the book of Malachi. He said, behold, I will send Elijah the prophet, knowing the condition this age will be in if I don't. He says that. If I don't send him, I'll bring a curse on the earth.
Amen.
But aren't you glad you heard the voice?
That
didn't let you stay as just something covered up, looked like Christianity, but something that changed from the inside out. And begin to produce now you don't look at some seed of somebody else, you can see your own begin to put forth life.
Yes.
And you should never be content with that, because even when it puts forth fruit, what's the point of a tree? Is that, do we just cut it down the first year and say, oh, we're done with you? Every time. We want more. We want more. We want more. And the Bible says it's what God does. It says you put forth fruit, then what does he do? He prunes you off. Why? So you put forth more the next time. Change from glory to glory to glory. And when does it end? Never. Hallelujah. So anytime you get stagnant in your Christian experience, what is it time to do? Get into the Word and be satisfied with it. How often we get distracted by these things of the world and they turn us from the left and to the right, and it doesn't take but 5 minutes of that garbage and you're dissatisfied with the Word because it's not as entertaining. It's not as fun and yippee-skippy, make me feel all good. It tells me I made a mistake and I need to go make it right.
Amen.
We don't like that kind of gospel most times. Well, I'll tell you one guy I don't. That's this old guy right here. He hates that.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Your flesh will fight humility every time. It wants to be right.
Amen. Amen.
It wants you to know it's right.
Yes, that's right.
No questions asked. So we've been given this message of the Lord. And as I've been trying to emphasize, this is not something that was new. It was something that was in the Bible the whole time. And it was prepared, as we just said, for the age that was to come. God had already ordained how he would take care of that. And that was by sending Elijah the prophet. That was by sending the message of the hour. And that was by opening the seals, as he said in Revelation 10:7, that the mystery of God would be finished. You wouldn't have to go figure it out no more. It would be open in plain view. But it's the same as it was in the first crucifixion. The temple was rent. God did his part. He shook an earthquake so you couldn't miss it. He even let the devils come around, those centurions, and say, surely this was the Son of God.
Amen.
He done everything he could to let them see him, but since they were so busy on a past glory, they completely missed him. And it's been the same in this age. And it's continuing on. And look, people are even doing it with Brother Branham now. They're making it a glare of another age. Because if you really believe the message that Brother Branham really brought, you can produce the same thing now.
Amen.
Right? If you really believe it, he didn't say that these miracles will stop when I die. That's not part of his theology. It wasn't in there in the first place. It wasn't part of the message.
Right.
And don't you take somebody that says they're in the message just because they're in the message that what they're saying is really what the message is.
Right.
If you really got the Holy Ghost, something inside will check it every time. Yes. It will every time. And you might even give it a little thought for a little while, but you'll never go with it.
Right.
Something in you just said, this ain't right. This ain't right. That's why God gave us the Holy Ghost, so we don't have to worry about which glory I need to go to. It tells you exactly what you need to go to.
Yes.
How important is this? It's everything. It's everything. Let me even read that. Let's go to John 3. Let's just go down to verse 18, please. John 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. You want me to preach a whole sermon right there? Alright. He that believeth on him is not condemned.
Amen.
But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We wonder why Acts 2:38, why baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was so important. He just said right there, if you don't believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, and that's what they've done, they've taken his name out and filled it up with titles that don't mean anything to anyone. Who's the Father? Who's the Son? Who's the Holy Ghost? They don't know either. They'll tell you that if you just ask them long enough. They don't have a clue what they're talking about either. It's just unexplainable. But we know that Revelation 10:7 said that the mystery of God would be finished. Here they're saying it can't be finished.
Amen.
Living in the glare of another age. And what does he say about this? He doesn't say, well, it's all right. Maybe I'll overlook that they don't believe in my name. Read the next verse. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And it doesn't stop there. I love this. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So why do men not like the light? Why don't they like the gospel? It's not because, and really you break down, they'll know it's right. You want a successful nation? Follow the gospel. Get people that love one another. Get people that don't commit adultery. Get people that don't steal. That don't do. And you're going to find a Christian. That's about the only religion that's even close to holding a moral standard anymore. It's true Christianity by the Holy Ghost. And you get a group of people like that, you'll be successful. But why do they resist the light? Because their own deeds will be manifest.
Amen.
And they'll have to knuck up to the responsibility that they themselves are evil.
Right.
Now the Christian had to meet that day as well.
Amen.
But he didn't want to stay evil. So he didn't just say, well, let's just put the light, let me just build this big concrete wall so I don't got to hear the light, and I can walk in my ignorance and pretend like I know everything's okay. And as Brother Branham said, it's like a little kid whistling in the graveyard trying to make himself think he's not afraid, but you know he's scared to death. I had a student the other day, God have mercy. A student coming to me and I said, how are you doing today? He says, not good. I said, why not? He said, I ain't saved.
Yeah.
Wow.
But they hate the light because it reproves their own works.
Right.
And nobody can make you repent. Nobody else can make you. You must do it.
Right.
You must be the one that knucks up to who you are without Christ now, who you are by yourself in your own flesh. You have to say, I am filthy and worthless.
Right.
Where's the light that can expel this darkness?
Right.
There's only one road back, and that is the road of repentance.
Amen.
And guess what? That's all God wants. That's all he wants. He doesn't want your works. He doesn't want you earning it. He wants you to repent and come back.
Amen.
And he'll take care of all the rest of the problem. He'll take that. He can take that if you'll put faith in that. He'll take that faith and grow it into faith. And that'll grow your glory that you had when you were born again into another glory that's more glorious than what you'd ever imagined. And if you'll keep holding on, we already know what this will end up as a bride without spot or wrinkle.
That's right. Amen.
We'll walk as an invincible army that when Satan comes, he has nowhere to go.
That's right.
There's too much light. There's no darkness can get in anymore.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Brother Branham went so far as, if you've read the indictment, Brother Branham says, there they crucified him. That's where he pulls his text from in the Bible. And he was explaining why that they were guilty of the first crucifixion and paralleling it to this day now. And watch, like I said, watch how important it is that we hold true to these things that we've been given. The name of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you deny that, you've denied both the Son and the Father.
Yes.
Because they're all one. You can't separate it. Coming out of the indictment. Now, the second crucifixion then, if a man accepts Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, a creed instead of the word, titles instead of a name, what does he do to the people? He crucifies the effects of the word to the people when he says that. Mark 16 was just for that generation. And God said himself right there, Jesus talking to them said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them. How far? Every nation, every creed, every tongue, every race, every people, the same gospel. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And when a man tries to cut that out of the Bible, he crucifies the effects of the gospel to that congregation. So I indict you in the name of Jesus Christ. You are guilty of murdering the Lord. And you think that's just the minister, but it's every believer.
Amen.
Every professed believer, that is. If they will take the word and reject it for something else and accept it. Why is the name of Jesus Christ so important? You can't get anything without it.
Right.
You'll never get anything out of God unless it's in Jesus' name.
Right.
And not just a little catchphrase that you happen to say at the end of your prayer, but when you really know it's because of his name that we even have a chance.
Amen.
Right.
It's because of his name that we have been found worthy, because God doesn't look at me through my name. I have had a name change.
Amen.
Now he looks through me through the name of his Son.
Yes.
So when I ask in his name, I'm only asking for what I am. Oh, I don't know if you heard me just yet. When you ask in Jesus Christ's name, it must not be out there in the clouds.
Right.
Right.
It must be, this is my name.
Amen.
I have been changed. Now remember, there's one first change that has to happen. You must be born again.
Right.
That's right.
But that's not one and out either now either. You're starting there. You're a little baby, but you grow up.
Right.
And God wants glory out of glory out of glory. He wants faith with faith, more faith than you've ever had before. Never let your faith wane. Never let you think that, oh, I know God did that great thing back there, but today, you know, just doesn't happen quite that way. If your most glorious time in your walk is not today, you're backslidden.
Amen. Right.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
And that's every day.
Amen.
And you give me that look, but I'll tell you what, I got the same look. I know. Yeah. I know. I think of some of the things God has done and think, my, I can't get no better than that. Guess it can. If it couldn't get no better, I guess God got exhausted, didn't he? He was too tired to give any more glory out. No, no, he's got plenty to roll on out. And it ain't just for the preachers. It ain't just for who you think spiritual. It's for you. Amen. It's the children's bread, the word of God in your heart, manifesting that these signs truly do fall in that belief. Even in Laodicea, yeah. Absolutely in Laodicea. This is the time where God truly gets to prove his word.
Amen.
In other ages, there might have been some ignorance here and there, but now it's all revealed, Satan.
Amen.
Try anything you want to. You can't defeat this.
Amen. Ooh,
glory to God. And to think, back when he had Noah, he couldn't stop the flood from happening, could he? He couldn't stop from Noah not dying, but after he got off, he got him drunk.
Right. Yes.
Didn't he? Amen. Satan took that little victory and he held it in his pocket. Yes. When he had Moses up there, beaten, took out his Egyptians and everything else. But it came to smiting the rock just once, and then speaking the word, saying, God, didn't he? And he got to watch Moses die on the rock, not allowed to go in the promised land. But you read the book of Jude, he was a little mad about that, because he couldn't figure out where Moses went. I just love it. That old devil ain't got a chance in the world. Do you understand that? Amen. He doesn't have a chance in the world to defeat God's purpose. Are you God's purpose?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Are you his purpose? Why he came to Calvary?
Amen.
Amen.
Are you his purpose that the Holy Ghost was poured out? Are you his purpose for sending Elijah the prophet?
Yes.
He says, behold, I send you.
Right.
Amen.
And if you are his purpose, Satan, all hell, all death, all sickness can't stop it.
Amen.
You must be changed into the same image of Jesus Christ from glory to glory to glory. Don't get discouraged because you think you need to be three glories down the road. Wherever you are, that's the glory God has in your life. Put faith in that and then watch it grow into more glory.
Amen.
And it's not glorifying you. We understand that real Christian glory is glorifying God through you.
Yes.
That's it.
Let me finish with this little story here. I'm sure most of you are aware of, heard of this before. Children of Israel, they left Egypt, they had the promise of God with them, they had Moses, they had the prophet, they had the pillar of fire, and every day something would happen. There would be food fall out of heaven, hit the ground. They called it manna. Does anybody know what manna means in Hebrew? What is it? That's what manna means. What is it? Because they didn't even know what they were, what it was. And who would have, I would have thought the same thing, right? Somebody, you know, you're looking for somebody else who just dropped that. Oh, what is, well, then the prophet came and explained what it was and they ate it.
Right.
Aren't you glad that's what happened, aren't they?
Yes.
We heard this message and people saying this, that, or whatever about it. Then God just sent us the prophet. Oh, here's what it is. And we're like, oh, okay. And we ate it.
Amen.
And what was the first commandment Moses said? Right after he said, okay, this is the food that God has sent down. Here you go, go ahead and eat it. He says this, and it's Exodus 16 if you want to look it up later. He says, and Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. So it's two things, isn't there? If you don't accept the word for your day and you just kind of let it sit there, the sun comes out and it melted it. Uh-huh. And you get no effects from it. And how many services have we let go by where the word was sitting there? And it might be sickness, it might be depression, it might be family trouble, it might be financial, it might be whatever. And you knew the promise of God was sitting there. But for some reason, you just couldn't muster the faith to grab it. You were waiting for some sensation or the preacher to say the right thing. And they make, no, no, the word's there. Moses done spoke it.
Right.
This is what you do. Go get it and eat it.
Right.
Today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Right now. And I've tried to emphasize that even in these services. Today. Right now. Get it.
Yes.
Don't wait. Don't leave here with a need. Take it.
Yes.
God's given us manna that never fell before. This is the manna from heaven. It's the glorious age that's ever struck the earth.
Right.
He's poured it out upon us. And I wonder, in God's spiritual eyes, how much manna and message churches have laid on the ground and just burn away.
Sure.
Or there's the other one where we go find the manna from Brother Branham somewhere or some other preacher we thought was spiritual, and we took it and we hid it. And we're like, well, we'll save this for later, you know, just in case. I'll save my prayer life for when I think the tribulation's coming or something really bad's happening. And then I'll go feed on the word, and then you go look at that, what happened? It was all bread with worms, and it was nasty.
Uh-huh.
And every denomination, that's all they're doing. They're taught, it's all right. You know, it's moldy, it's gross. But, you know, God gave it. Yeah, yesterday.
Yes.
What about today?
Amen.
Why do people get frustrated with Christianity, coming to church and things like that? Because anybody that can read the Bible can figure out that this God is different than any other one. This is a God that loves. Most gods, and if you go to any kind of religion, hate people. They want people dead. You know, the gods are mad. That's why we had a lightning storm. Gods are mad. This and that. No, our God loved.
Yes.
And it's completely contrary for them. So they go looking, well, if I need to find God, I'll go to his church, right? And they go to a church, and what they're told, well, he did do those things, but now we got science and stuff, you know, so. Or it's, oh, okay, let's play video games downstairs before the service, and then we'll come up and kind of fake Christianity for about 20 minutes, and then we'll go watch football. And anybody that's really looking for God, what happens? They get frustrated because they go, I could have done that at home. I've already been doing all this stuff. I'm not interested in that. Where is this God you speak of? If he really be God, I should be able to see him, just like Moses and the Israelites did when the Red Sea opened up. Where is this God you speak of? Where's the one that walked on water? Where's this one that said, these signs shall fall them that believe? Where is he? And that's why people get frustrated. And what do? Well, it's all bogus anyways. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. Or even if God does do something powerful, there's no character to back it up half the time.
Right.
Amen. Let me read this. The seed is not air with the shuck. 65. Once the carrier of a true word, justification, then it become the carrier of sanctification, then it become a carrier of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the restoration of the gifts. But when he goes on and keeps going back, trying to eat some manna from another day, it's rotten. It's no good. A genuine eagle of this day knows that was all right, but we got that plus. Until Jesus Christ is made manifest in the fullness of his power, as he promised to be in this last day. She is now a dried shuck. It's past. The Spirit of God passed through her is true. See, that's you don't fight with people with that. Of course God did great things through those ministries. Absolutely. Spirit of God passed through is true and will not. She will not be heir with a vindicated seed word. She sure will not be. She'll not be in the rapture. She'll be a church member, may come up in the second resurrection, be judged according to what she's heard. If you're here tonight and just a church member, what's your judgment going to be when we all have to stand there and witness you heard the truth? See? She no more flies into the blue, into the unknown, unto the supernatural, where the powers and heights and the promises of God's eternal word is made possible. All of them to these that believe. She won't believe that she said. She falls right back on the telephone wire and said that my denomination says the rabbits is all right. Though they got maggots in them, but yet they're all right. See, she depends on that. Pentecost is like her denominational vulture sister, setting now in a large council of seats in the ungodly, certainly listening to her worldly political heads, feeding her on vulture food of dead rabbits, so something that's passed by 50 years ago. 50 years ago. That's the condition of the Pentecostal church. Oh my. I'll say it's the same today, unfortunately. We're not allowed to soar into the unknown because we want to know it. That's what the Italians, why do you think they hate the Holy Spirit? It'll always do something you can't just figure out.
Yeah.
You have to just believe.
Yes.
And as man tries to figure out God by intellect, he's living in the glare of another age because God allowed that for a season. We understand the man anointing allowed that for a season, but we're long past that now. It's either you're the eagle, either you're eating the fresh manna killed every day, either you're the word of God for this day, preparing for the rapture because that's all the promise left for this time,
right.
Or you'll be left here. to suffer the tribulation, to come up in the maybe the second resurrection and receive eternal life. I'm not counted to that group. I hope you aren't either. We're not afraid. Anybody afraid of the supernatural? Anybody don't want to see somebody get healed? Anybody don't want speaking in tongues and prophecy and gifts of healing and miracles? Anybody not want that? Does that offend anyone? That's a good sign. Not just because you didn't say so, but because I could tell you meant it. A lot of people, oh my, no. God still heals and stuff, but when it comes down to really, healing, let's actually see if it heals this person. Let's see if this promise really works on this situation that's real. I don't know. The will of the Lord be done. Oh, I already know His will. Right. What about your will? Yeah. He cares. Do you care?
Right.
Amen. I'm going to stop there. Can we stand? Brother Branham shares a few stories when he talks about living in the glare of another age. There was one woman. He asked her, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "I'd like you to know I burn a candle every night." Brother Branham said, "What in the world does that have to do with it? Living in the glare of another age." That one's even an age that didn't really even exist in the first place. Another one, remember, he went into the hospital to pray for somebody. The woman looked over and said, "Pull the curtain." He said, "I'm just going to pray." He said, "Pull that curtain." He said, "Aren't you a Christian?" She says, "We're Methodist." He said, "Well, that certainly expresses it, doesn't it? You're just a Methodist. You're not a Christian." Because we already read that before. You can't be ashamed of the name of God.
Right.
In public places, we should not be ashamed that we pray.
Right.
When you see somebody that's sick, you should not be ashamed that you're going to go pray for them in front of everybody. Because that's the power of God. That's that glory. That's that next step. Won't even say that. Maybe you're not to that step yet. Let it happen. Put faith in it. Because what are they going to... Just think of this for a minute when you go pray for them. What happens when they do get well? You think they're going to come back to you and go, "Why were you doing that anyhow?" And they'll go, maybe we should listen to that guy. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together. Now, wherever you are in your experience, you know the truth, and God knows your heart, and you know that He knows your heart. There's something still just holding you back, some sort of unbelief. Can we just raise that and let the Lord take it far from us? Let His grace and mercy just wash us all clean. Let Him fill us anew with power from on high. Don't ever get satisfied in your experience that God doesn't have more for you. Because the second you do, as we said earlier, the second you do, you begin to backslide. Let us press for that mark of the high calling of Christ. We'll be able to go home and be with Him. Do you have loved ones on your heart? Did God give you the faith to believe for it? It'll come to pass. You just hold on. He promised it. He wants glory out of your life, and He wants glory out of their lives. If you have any other need, let's just raise that to the Lord. Let's believe that He's going to answer. Let's pray together. You pray your own way with all your heart. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to be in Your house. Lord, and as we feel Your presence fill this place once again, Lord, we just ask, Lord, no unbelief reign in our hearts whatsoever. Lord, when we look at the promises of God, when we look at the glory that You want to be to be expressed in our lives, Lord, may we never limit You in what You can do through us. Lord, when You whisper that sweet little word into our ears, as You did to Brother Branham to go speak a storm out of existence, Lord, may we be able to hear that still small voice speak to us when You have miraculous things You'd want done as well. Lord, don't let us ever put You in some box You never intended to be in. Let us believe that all things are possible. I pray for this congregation, Lord, that each one would have just such an assurance of what You've done in their lives. That if Satan comes and tries to make them doubt, Lord, there'll be no footing that he can get in anywhere. But there'll be so much light springing out of their lives that Satan's darkness can't even get in. Lord, forgive us for all of our foolish ways. All the ways we've let the flesh dominate us in this affair or that affair. Lord, may You just wash it all clean, Lord, in Your blood, in Jesus Christ's name. And may every Christian that's here not dwell in condemnation. But Lord, we believe on Your name. We believe You're the Lord Jesus Christ. And You promised that we would not be condemned. Lord, and we're holding on to what you did for us at Calvary, and we thank you for sending the word, sending the message of the hour, that we wouldn't have to guess what Calvary was. Now we know. We wouldn't have to guess who's this God we serve. Now we know you by name. We know you by nature. We know you by character. We know you by your love that you've expressed to us. We thank you, Lord, for all these things. Lord, we just love you with all our hearts. Help us to love you more. Just get all the fruit you can out of our lives, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. As we sing that song, sing it with all your heart. Just worship him, you and him alone, and believe that he's going to answer your prayers. Yes, Lord. I want to love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever outlove the Lord. I want to live. Want to live the way I want to give until there's just no more to gain. I want to love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever outlove. Sing it one more time. Every hand raised, every eye closed. Believe in God. Yes, Lord.
I want to live the way He wants me.
Incredible, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love, for I could never, ever outlove the Lord.
And make me more alive. Is that your prayer?
Give me a
just worship and thank him now.
That's filled with love and make me more like me.
Yes, Lord.
And make me more.
Just sing it to him now. Thank you, Jesus.
And make me more like thee.
Grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord.
Jesus, make me more like thee. That's true. to lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean.
He just wants you to lean on Him now. Just trust Him for everything. Sing it again.
Oh, I'm learning.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Lean on the I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean.
If you don't know it, He's changing me from glory to glory. He's changing me. How many believes the word that was spoken today? How many's happy for the word that was spoken today? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Let's sing it together now.
From glory to glory, He's changing me. He's changing me. He's changing me, His likeness and image to perfect in me. The love of God shown to the world, for He's changing me from earthly things to the heavenly. His likeness and image to perfect in me. The love of God shown to the world.
Drop that a little bit. Mm-hmm. A little bit better there. My voice ain't got much left. Let's sing.
Glory to glory, He's changing me. He's changing me. He's changing me. His likeness and image to perfect in me. The love of God shown to the world. For He's changing me from earthly things to the heavenly. His likeness and image to perfect in me. The love of God shown to the world. From glory to glory, He's changing me. He's changing me.
Oh, grant it, Lord.
He's changing me. His likeness and image to perfect in me. The love of God shown to the world. For He's changing. He's changing me from earthly things to the heavenly. His likeness and image to perfect in me. The love.
Oh, one more time. I think we got it now. Let's sing it.
He's changing me from earthly things to the heavenly. His likeness and image to perfect in me. The love of God shown to the world.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Before we go today, we're going to have lunch over at Dad's. I think everybody knows that, but I like to just sing this song, The Move Is On. How many believes The Move Is On? Not just brother soul, the move is on you. The move is on the bride. How many's part of the bride of Jesus Christ? Amen. Praise God. Let's sing that as we're dismissed today.
The move is on, my Lord. The move is on.
The move. Go ahead and praise Him now.
My Lord, the move is on. I can hear the rustle in the pulpit. Great trees. And I know. The move is on.
Lord,
streams are flowing. Move on, brother, move on. The move is on, my Lord. The move is on. The move is on, my Lord. The move is on. I can hear the rustle in the mulberry trees, and I know.
God bless you, saints.